Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
The other that I was hoping to bring to his attention, and I'm very excited to be able to have this conversation with an expert in the area, is that on the Competition Commission's intentions to sort of crack down on exclusive ISP contracts in real estate, in estates rather, and in complexes. So if you live in a, if you're a resident of a complex or an estate, basically the Competition Commission is asking you to come forward if you feel as though you are locked into a contract with an internet service provider that was forced upon you because of whoever put the fiber into your complex. To help us make this less complex is Jan Vermeulen, once again editor at My Broadband. Jan, thanks for joining us again. How are you today?
I'm well. It's a pleasure to be here.
Always. So this I thought was quite an interesting development insofar as it seems to be supported also by a number of fiber operators who happen to have affiliates like OpenServe.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what the concern really is. Is it
yes,
company driven, or is it Competition Commission driven?
Yes. So there's I think when people are talking about fiber monopolies in South Africa, there's two areas of concern that come up. Now the one that the Competition Commission is looking into, actually the Competition Commission is looking into two, though the one is already before the tribunal, which is Vodacom buying a stake in Vumatel, essentially.
Oh,
but CIVH, Vumatel and DFA.
Yes.
The second one is this thing of complexes, estates and business parks giving kind of exclusivity agreements to fiber network operators and ISPs. Now fiber network operators, that's less of an issue because
Correct.
Often in a particular area, you'll only see one fiber operator rolling
That's
out
right.
to that area.
Massive infrastructural rollout and investment.
Right. Unless it's an incredibly lucrative area, you don't really see overbuild. And so, yeah, you'll have an OpenServe or a Frogfoot or a Vumatel or a Metro Fiber or Octotel. There's a myriad. We have actually so many infrastructure operators in the country right now. It's fantastic. And so these infrastructure providers will lay their fiber. And then the ISPs, of which there are, I'm pretty sure, hundreds, can sell services on top of that infrastructure. Now, people will know the big names, the Afrihosts, Access, MWeb, Web Africa, RSA Web. Like, I think people know those names. But there's really lots of small ISPs. There's a vibrant, competitive environment where you've got small guys fighting for market share with big guys, and they're able to kind of, you know, turn over enough money to make a living. But essentially what's happened in the past, I think this is really mainly a legacy thing. There is still some concerns about this stuff happening today. But in the very early days of fiber rolling out to complexes, what some body corporates would do is sign a deal to say, we will exclusively allow this internet service provider to provide services in our complex in exchange for you rolling out to us first or fast.
Yes.
Or, you know, at certain price points.
Cost,
you know, you get some
yes.
kind of perk in exchange for the exclusivity. But as time has worn on, it's kind of been proven that exclusivity is actually a bad longer
yes.
term.
It's not beneficial anymore for the residents.
Right. The residents want, so either it's a service issue.
Mm.
So you are unhappy with the service that you're getting from the ISP, and so you would like to switch to someone else. And now that's not on the table because of the exclusivity deal your complex has signed. Or it's a pricing issue where you're like, no, but I can get a cheaper service
yes.
from this other ISP, but you're not allowed to use them. And so that's essentially what this issue is about.
One of the concerns that's been raised, Jan, is the exclusivity contracts sometimes run from 5 to 10 years. If some of them are still in play, would the Competition Commission's intervention allow one to break from their contract or dissolve some of those?
It depends on ultimately what its findings are and how fast it can do this. So the thing is, there's so much on its plate right now. So you go through like a round of investigations and then a report, and then it's 3 years on before you've got something implementable. And so by then it's kind of moot, which is unfortunately what happens a lot at the Competition Commission. But if the Competition Commission or another competent authority, but the Competition Commission is really where this lies, them and the tribunal, it perhaps can look at a specific case and test whether it violates existing law. And kind of go and kind of figure out, does this thing violate South Africa's competition laws? And if it does, then that kind of invalidates all of them at once, rather than going through a huge inquiry and documents and, 3-year public participation process. If you just test one in court, that might be a way to do it much faster. So there's options in front of them. They've currently, what the Competition Commission is doing is they're soliciting input from the public. They're actually trying to get a sense of how big the problem is before they tackle it, I think, and to kind of get victim statements. So they are entreating the public to please come to them with their stories about where there might be fiber monopolies and where they've been disadvantaged due to and we call them fiber monopolies for shorthand, but it's really not about fiber. It's about the ISPs.
Correct.
So where there's an ISP monopoly, the Competition Commission has asked for people to please write in so that they can get an idea of what's happening out there.
And that is
and how big the problem is.
Correct. And that's fundamentally why we invited you this evening, Jan. But thank you very much for helping us demystify that a little bit, because one of the frustrations the Competition Commission often raises in various industries is we can only defend you insofar as you kind of tell us what the issue is, because what they have at their disposal normally is to go to companies that need to be investigated anyway, or sectors that need to be investigated anyway. And so they get a little bit of a lopsided perspective. So if they can get something a bit more democratized, it would be ideal. Now, one of the participants that's come forward in support of what the Competition Commission is doing is the Internet Service Providers Association. And I wonder, is it ideal to engage them or to go directly to the Competition Commission rather? I'm not sure which is the less laborious process.
So in this case, it's better to go directly to the Competition Commission. Great. Because they have specifically asked for input. The ISP Association, ISPA, is going to do its part, but it's an industry representative body. And what the Competition Commission is asking for is from consumers and businesses who have been affected by this directly. Excellent. And that's not someone that the ISPA can speak for.
Excellent. Jan, always helpful and seeing a bit more clearly after chatting to you. Jan Vermeulen is editor at My Broadband. We'll chat soon, I hope. As was recommended there, please reach out to the Competition Commission. If you feel you are living in a complex, an estate, or are working in an office building, or maybe you're a procurement officer in an office building and have felt frustrated by contracts that have locked your building, or if you're on a body corporate and locked your building or your estate into long-term ISP contracts that are underpinned by exclusivity to the fiber provider, do reach out to the Competition Commission, preferably in writing, and give them a sense of your grievance.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.